Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about contracts, and we're going to talk about churchism. This is actually the seventh in a series on contracts, and the fourth in the series on churchism, which is a part of that idea, because in the beginning, God made a covenant with us, made an agreement with us, gave us this planet on basic terms. Dress it and keep it. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of the... And do eat of the tree of life. And everything else was yours. It was your dominion. You had choices. But who was your counselor? Who was your guide? Is it the tree of life? Was it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And you'll have to listen to the other shows in order to figure out what that's all about. And we're going to continue this series until we exhaust it. And then we may go on to a series on what is the gospel of Christ. Because I'm amazed at how many people have little bits and pieces of the gospel of Christ. But it's like getting one of those big jigsaw puzzles and they're missing some of the pieces. And they're not just missing one or two, they're missing so many that they cannot get a good picture of what the puzzle is. They can't put all the pieces together. And of course, that's the design of evil, is to keep us from understanding the big picture and to get us to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because you can't know it all. God knows it all. And if you're going to try to decide for yourself what is good and evil, what is right and wrong, you're going to miss something. You're not going to be able to put it all together. You have to eat of the tree of life. You have to reach out to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit listeth where he wills, and he is looking for the sincere heart that truly loves God. In order to love God, you must be humble enough to realize that you're not God, and that you cannot choose other gods other than him, which is all a part of this, thou shalt not have no covenants with them nor with their gods. And of course, almost every Christian today does, because they've twisted the gospel of Christ into something other than what it was intended. It was also called the gospel of the kingdom of God at hand, the kingdom of heaven at hand. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, same thing. It's just Matthew calls it kingdom of heaven. Nobody else does. But he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, the same place that others are saying kingdom of God. So they're the same. And what is the kingdom of God? It's the right to be ruled by God. And if you make covenants with them and their gods, then their gods have a right to rule over you. Their gods, their ruling judges, have a right to rule over you, the inhabitants where you go, if you make agreements with them. Now, why would you make agreements with them? To get benefits. To get their sacrifice, their korban. The Corbin of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect. And what is absolutely amazing, and we show this in the books, Covenants of the Gods and Thy Kingdom Come, is that people are actually making covenants with the governments of the world, the fathers of the earth, in order to obtain benefits at the expense of their neighbor, so that through covetousness they are made into merchandise, human resources. And they do this mostly, although there's many different layers of this, which is why there are 15 chapters to the Covenants of the Gods. But the major portion of this, or attaching point of this, is when you get their number. When you apply for the Corban of the Pharisees that made the Word of God to none effect. The Corban of the Pharisees was a social welfare system set up by Herod and the Pharisees to provide social benefits for the people at the expense of the people by the authority of the king. In other words, he could compel your offerings. He had soldiers in the temple and the treasury to compel your offerings. Once you signed up with the baptism of Herod, so that there would be enough gold and silver in the coffers of the treasury, the gastophon, to provide you with social benefits if you were blind or injured or old age or what, or destitute. That was their religion. That is how they took care of the needy of their society, through these forced offerings of Corban. That's always what Corban was. It was your sacrifice to take care of the health, education, and welfare of a government set up by Moses, where the government workers were called Levites, and they were tithed to pay their salaries. But you get to choose who you're going to tithe to. They did not appoint them from the top down. They appointed them from the bottom up because you chose your Levite minister. And he was health, education, and welfare. And he was paid by you because you see him doing a good job. You were kings and priests in your own households. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. I had somebody tell me once when it... Yeah, what I'm referring to is a particular quote in the Bible that talks about Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And somebody said, and of course, God did away with that because it was such a mess. So God had a bad idea. And he said, oh, I better try something different, because God didn't really know what he was doing when he didn't set up a king to begin with. And then why, when they did set up a king, did he say, they rejected me. They rejected me as God. A free society is where everybody can do what is right in their own eyes. A free society under God is when God lives in the hearts and minds of the people, and everybody does what is right in their own eyes, and then their eyes are opened by God. That is the kingdom of God. And there is no king in Israel, because every man is king in his own castle, and every woman is his queen, and the only subjects are his children. And there is a separation of powers, because there's a separation of families, and each family is free and independent. And this is what they talked about in Leviticus 25:10, and he says, then you shall hallow the 50th year, because everybody would be proclaiming liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. And he says, ye shall return every man unto his possessions. That means your stuff is your stuff. It's not my stuff. It's not the king's stuff. It's not the government's stuff. It's your stuff. Every man shall be returned to his possessions, and ye shall return every man unto his precinct. No, that's not what it says. It doesn't say precinct. To his state. No, it doesn't say state. What does it say? It says return every man unto his family. Family was the institution of God. When you got married, it was a covenant between you, your spouse, and the state. No, it doesn't say that. You, your spouse, and the Father in heaven. That's holy matrimony. The union of your wife into your family. She leaves her family, and she enters your family. Not under the authority of your father, who may be still giving you permission to get married, like Samson, but in the which would be the potestas, but in the imperium of your family. Potestas is the power. So she doesn't go under the power of your father. She goes under your power. So her matrix is united with your family, so that when she has children, it will, and you were to die or get sick or injured, your family would be responsible to care for her children and for her, because she had her matrix had entered into your family. That was holy matrimony. You're separating, the husband wasn't leaving his family. He got permission to get married. But the woman was leaving her family and becoming a part of the man. And in uniting that way, this is the way the descendancy went. She didn't go back to her own family. In the case of Naomi and Ruth, Naomi had two sons, and they married women. And they died, or actually were probably executed, before those women bore children. So because they had no child, and therefore there was no evidence of the consummation of that marriage, they could return to their own families, because they had left their families when they got married and entered into the family of Naomi and her husband and their husbands. But Ruth, one of the wives went back to her father and her family. But Ruth said, no, I'm going to go with Naomi. And she went with Naomi, and eventually she married Boaz, and eventually their children were the ancestors of Christ. But this is the government of God, the family. So how do families come together without relinquishing their imperium, without diminishing their potestas, their power in their family? Well, obviously, if they come together under an emperor, he has their imperium. He is their father. He is their patronus. And the legislature, the Senate in those days, was called the patri, the fathers. But Jesus said, call no man father on earth. Today, your patri is the U.S. Senate and the Congress. And the father of them has become the chief executive officer, who now does all kinds of things that used to be reserved just for the legislature. We imagine that the Constitution created a government that God wanted. He only wanted it for the wicked, those that had rejected him and would not be ruled by him, those who wanted to have a central ruler, a captain, an authority. And we're going to get into this and show how you've made this covenant. And we've already, you got to go read the series or listen to the series. We have an audio series on it. They're all available online for free, of contracts, covenants, and constitutions. And we put the Constitution in the light of the Bible. And it really goes against, it's very iconoclastic. It goes against what a lot of modern Christians think, because they think the Constitution was divinely inspired. Well, it might have been divinely inspired by a God, but it wasn't the God. It was what needed to be done, because people had not yet repented enough. There were some that were, and most of the people in America objected to the Constitution, would not have voted for it, would have been voted down had it been put to a vote of the people. But we, the people of the United States, was not the people of America. It was the people of the United States. And the United States was separate from the states. Even after it was implemented, the states were as foreign to each other as Mexico is to Canada. That's right out of Clark's Summary of U.S. American Law. So, anyway, but men made an agreement. They took that agreement to the states. The states agreed to it. The state governments agreed to the agreement eventually. And it was implemented to create a United States federal government outside of the states, with very little, almost no jurisdiction within the states. Certainly no jurisdiction over the Americans living on their land in fee simple, untaxed by all the world, becoming a tough nut for any imperial power to crack. Which was a quote directly out of James Truslow Adams, and we quote it in the book Covenants of the Gods. But all that's changed. our relationship with that government has changed. We are now citizens of the United States federal government and only residents in our local state. And I know that goes over the head of a lot of people, but the point is that we are making covenants. And those covenants, the motivation is covetousness. We desire benefits. And you cannot apply for those benefits without repercussion, because there are strings attached to those applications. And in the 50th year, they do not intend to return every man to his possessions. They own your land, they own your children, and they own you, and you are collateral for debt, and you are back in the bondage of Egypt. God sent Moses to deliver you out of the bondage of Egypt. The people were going back into the bondage of Egypt when they were in Judea under Herod and the Pharisees' government, which was making the word of God to none effect. And Christ came to deliver them out again. But modern Christians are back in it again. That's the fruits of your Christianity, is that you've all gone back into the bondage of Egypt worse than it was in Egypt. And you are now, you got people out protesting abortion, but they aren't dealing with the problem. What has created this abortion? Why are people casting out their brephos, their fetuses, which is what they talk about in Acts? They cast out their brephos, and that's the word for fetuses. Not small children, but fetuses. This is what they were doing in Egypt. This is what you're doing. It's because you're in the bondage of Egypt, and this is what it's led to. You go protest and try to get some constitutional amendment to do away with abortion. It's not going to do away with the problem. The problem is, to covetousness, you've been made merchandise. You have come into agreement with a spirit that wants you dead, that does not love you. And this is why I was saying in the earlier shows that a contract is not just, some sort of an agreement where I will do this and you will do that and you will do this and I. It's an agreement. You agree that it's okay to take away from your neighbor in order to obtain benefits. When you made that agreement, your eyes were closed. Scales came over your eyes. You approached a deity which is not the deity of God. It's the deity of Satan. And your mind has changed. And you see it today when you look out in the political arenas. You have conservatives supposedly over here, and then you have, let's put it in the terms of left and right. You are to neither to the left or the right. You are to look to Christ. But you have people think that you can be a leftist and a Christian. You cannot. You cannot even really be someone over on the right and be a Christian, although they always think that they are. Not true Christians, not true followers. Because if you're true followers of Christ, you wouldn't be applying to Caesar for anything. One of the early so-called church fathers, who was not the father of the church established by Christ, but another church, actually appeared in the Senate and argued that we needed to persecute those that did not become Christians, the pagans. He actually asked the Senate to persecute those people who would not get baptized and become Christians. But it was his brand of Christianity. He wasn't moving from Christ. This was a false teacher, bringing in a damnable heresy of persecuting those that would not comply with his brand of Christianity, which had nothing to do with Christ. And false Christianity was born. And we talk about that in the book, That Kingdom Comes, and document it. So you can actually see. We have his speech still in black and white. You can read it. And yet he's called one of the church fathers, but not the church established by Jesus Christ, not his holy church. So anyway, we're to return every man to his family and every man to his possessions. And that's what Christ was doing for those who got the baptism of Christ. They were cast out of the system of Corban, of the Pharisees that had brought them into bondage. had numbered them, had given them an ID stone, where they were numbered and entered into a book and become a registered servant of the state, where they had to bow down and serve the state and give it funds so that the state supposedly would take care of the needy of their society. Yet even at the time of Christ, the funds were being pilfered, so much so that the people feared there wouldn't be those funds. Benefits were decreasing, and they actually rioted in the streets, and the riot had to be put down with men with clubs. This is at the time of Christ and reported and mentioned by Christ. And other historians talk about the same event. And Christ talked about it in relationship to Pontius Pilate, because he was the guy who implemented the putting it down as the chief financial officer of Rome in Judea. And we've talked about that before. So anyway, in Deuteronomy 17:16, it says you are not to multiply your horses to himself, meaning the king. If you choose a ruler who can exercise authority, he was not to multiply horses. Doesn't mean he couldn't be a horse farmer. It had to do with a cavalry, an army at his beck and call. Nor cause, you know, like the Praetorian Guard or the Secret Service or the FBI or any of those things are all part of the soldiers of the state. Professional army hired by the state. Now they didn't need that in Israel before they had a king, because there was a hue and cry. Everybody had to defend righteousness, stand up for righteousness, protect their neighbor, had to love their neighbor as themselves. When the whole nation does that, you don't need a standing army to enforce the law. The law is written in the hearts and minds of the people. We're so far away from that, you can't even imagine a government like that. And for most of you, you never will see it. But those of you who want to actually preach the kingdom of God, this is what you need. In order to hear that hue and cry, in order to answer that response, you need to know who each other are. So therefore, you need to network together, and you need to gather together. And that's what Israel was doing, and that's what Moses explained, and that's what the early church was doing. But that's not what you're doing. You're running around with your religious philosophies and interpretations and your calendars and your keeping of days and feasts, but you've lost the spirit of it. You know, somebody who was at one of our festivals here, the Burning Bush Festival, which is in the fall, complained that certain things we were not doing right. He didn't like the way we were doing our calendar, and although we don't have a calendar, we just agree on a date and we gather together. I haven't addressed the calendar issue. I don't think that's a priority. I think the priority is the spiritual issue. Not putting more rituals first, but getting back to the spirit. And the evidence of the spirit is that you're actually taking care of the needy in your society through faith, hope, and charity and personal sacrifice. You do that, we'll figure out the calendar after that. But until you know that much, you don't have the spirit. So how will you figure out? And anyway, I just got an email from him last night where he's made another revelation about the technicalities of his calendar. So he had two Passovers this year. One, and then he discovered that there was some sort of error in his calculation, and so now he had another one. But that is not the answer. That is not the solution. But we're going to talk about the solution when we get back. And we're going to start chugging away at this faster and faster. And we're going to try to get some real revelation going here in your mind, so you realize there is a path. There is a way. And that is the way of Christ, which you have not been taught. But we will teach you. But really, you need to learn it in your heart and in your mind. We'll be right back.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And yeah, we made lots of contracts and we returned to the bondage of Egypt. And in, like I was saying in Deuteronomy 17:16, it says that if you were to elect a leader, you were to write down in your constitution that he could do nothing to cause the people to return to Egypt. The word Egypt means bondage. The end of which we have done, we've returned to the bondage of Egypt, except it's not 20% of everything you earn goes to the government to take care of your welfare. It's far more than that. And it says, for as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. What way? The way where the government compels you to pay in, and then the government takes care of the needy of your society. And your priests and temple guards are the ones who provide that religion, that care for the needy of your society through this compelled offering. This is Egypt. That is what Egypt is. And what it leads to is the fact that you don't need the family anymore, so you end up, you just have unnatural use of your sexual activity, which leads to all kinds of promiscuity, including homosexuality, because you become selfish. You know, when you have to work to produce what you're going to get, when you have to, when your children are your only social welfare, you will put a lot more attention into your children. And your children will note the love that you have for them. If you abuse your children, expect to be abused as an older in your old age. If you love your children, expect your children to love you in your old age. There's a natural governing in society when you depend upon the family, but you haven't been returned to the family. Your father's in some government capital somewhere, London or wherever. That's your father. And you were told to call no man on earth your father. You say you believe in Jesus, but you have made the state your father. You have made the state your religion. That's how you take care of the needy of your society, to the world that you are a part of. You were to live in the world, but not of the world, but you do live of the world. You pray to the world for your benefits. And you have returned to the bondage of Egypt. And the result of returning to the bondage of Egypt eventually will be that you will cast out your children, your brephos, your fetuses. And that's why you have abortion. So forget about protesting abortion clinics. I mean, fine if you want to go there and offer people help rather than abortion. That's great. I think that's great. But they will have their abortion clinics, whether you like it or not. Because they've gone another way. They have made covenants with another spirit. And that's the way they want to go. And you don't have any right to stop them from going that way. What you have to do is turn around and go the other way, which means you have to start providing your benefits, not by praying to someone who calls himself a benefactor, but exercises authority one over the other, which Christ said you were not to do. But you have to start coming together and taking care of the needy of your society. When I talk about hue and cry, I don't just mean when somebody robs you. I mean when you have a need. You go to church and you say, I have a need. And they come and they help you. You know, if you read in Numbers 14:4, and it says, and they said one to another, let us make a captain. Let us return into Egypt. That's how you get to Egypt. You elect a captain, a ruler. The word there, captain, in the Hebrew, it's the word rosh, rashe. You know, it's a resh elef shem. It's translated 349 times head. It's only translated 10 times captain. Translated almost 100 times chief. 73 times top. 14 times beginning. 5 times principal. 6 times first. What you've done is you've elected your principas civitas, your first man, your principal man, your president. And he rules over you. He decides what is good and evil for you and for your neighbor. You wanted to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare because he's richer than you. You wanted to have your public schools and your health care. You know, I think it's funny. I just actually heard this story this morning. There's a Department of Health and Human Services, which should be your church, but... And it is your church, except for the Department of Health and Human Services is run by the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. And they have a secretary in charge of that right now, and it's a woman, and her name is Kathleen Sebelius, I think it is, or something like that. Anyway, she's been calling major health providers and asking for donations for the new health care. they can't collect enough. They're not getting enough support from Congress. So she's actually going out and requesting donations from the healthcare industry to get this implemented. Of course, the idea is once it's implemented, then the healthcare industry will get guaranteed funds from the government. And they will force you to buy their healthcare, force you to buy their medicines, force you to buy their products. And so she's out soliciting donations for their health. All your healthcare should be based on either what you earn or your children can provide for you or the donations of people in free assemblies. You either have free assemblies or you don't. If you don't have free assemblies, then you're not free, period. That's it. So if you want to force your neighbor, then your neighbor gets to force you and you are no longer free. You are in bondage, and that's where you're at right now. You're in the bondage of Egypt, and you've returned that way because you did not put the five basic precepts for a constitution listed off in detail in the Bible in your constitution. You only put one in, which meant that he could not be a foreigner. Your leader could not be a foreigner. That's the only one you put in. And they don't even bother with that. You have returned to the bondage of Egypt because you have turned away from the way of Christ. You're not following the gospel of Christ. You do not really believe in Christ. Somebody has held up an image of Christ that was false, and you believed in that, and you followed after that, and now you're back into bondage. But anyway, I said we would move along a little bit faster here. So in a way, we're supposed to be returning every man to his family. How does that work? Then your marriage should be like we talk about in Holy Matrimony versus Marriage, which is the first chapter of the Covenants of the Gods, because family is the foundation of society, and we need to focus on the family. And the family need to come together in free assemblies and take care of the needy of their society by faith, hope, and charity, instead of by praying to men who exercise authority to force them to contribute to their welfare. That simple. If you're not working for that, you're not seeking the kingdom of God. You're not seeking to be ruled by God. You're seeking to be ruled by others or seeking to be ruled by nobody. Because Christ came to serve, you should be coming to serve one another. You go to church for not what you can get out of church, but for what you can bring to others that have true and honorable needs. The kingdom of God, the gospel of Christ, the message of the Bible was for this world, and then, by default, the next. It was to be free in this world. Not of this world. When they say not of this world, they're not talking about of the planet. We were given dominion of the planet. This is our home. This is where God put us. When they say, my kingdom's not of this world, they meant constitutional order or system of government. That's what the word meant. People say we're not under the law. You're under the laws of the world because you are of the world and you have sought the world, the constitutional order and systems of government, to provide you with benefits, even though you know that they don't give you anything except what they take away from your neighbor. And to that covetousness, you have been made merchandise. And your temporal salvation is non-existent. You are in bondage. The only way that your Father will set you free is to turn around and go back. You have chosen your captain and returned to the bondage of Egypt. Now, what Christ did was he became king of Judea, recognized as king of Judea by the Romans, the kingdom, according to prophecy. And as king, he appointed his kingdom to the princes of his kingdom, the apostles. And he said, but you are not to be like the princes of the other nations who exercise authority. But you are to be servants. He created offices of service when he appointed the kingdom to the apostles, and the apostles and the 120 in the upper room. That's what he was doing. He was creating offices of service. They could not exercise authority, but they still had to supply health, education, and welfare. They had to be that office that you see in the world that exercises authority. But now is actually asking donations. What happened was the false church rose up and began to exercise authority, which is why we have Lady Godiva on the front cover of our Free Church Report, fully clothed, because she never took off her clothes. She never rode through town naked. That's all made up 100 years later. What she did was she gave up her wealth to help the needy of her society. And she was said, if you will do that, I will not charge the people the tax to support the church. That's what it was all about. There was an order to tax the people to support the church. And she said, we can't do that. Don't do that. Don't put that burden on the people. We have to take care of the needy through faith, hope, and charity. He says, well, if you will give up your wealth, I won't charge the tax. And she did. She was one of the wealthiest women in Great Britain, mentioned in the Doomsday Book. And this was her second husband. Her first husband had died. He was just as philanthropic as her. When he saw how charitable she was, he became just as charitable. These were remarkable people. And that's why they don't want you to know about what they were really doing, so they make up titillating stories about naked women on horses. So you will never figure out what's really going on. The offices of the church, what were they to do? To take care of health, education, and welfare. But to service one to the other, of loving one another. How do you do that? Do you pick one guy? Some captain, some ruler over you? No. You do it by picking, you know, 10 families, picking a minister. And this is what they did. This is why they had deacons. Deacons were the ministers of 10. And then those 10 ministers got together and they picked a minister. And you called that man an overseer, because he was a minister to 10 men who were ministers to 10 families, which means that he was a minister to 100 through them. But he did not exercise authority. He was not under rules and regulations. He was doing all this by love, because all Christ did was create offices of service, not offices of power. You see, it's the world upside down. You're kings and queens in your own house. And this is why we're talking about this churchism. He doesn't understand that almsgiving to one man in 10 families, you know what he's doing with those alms. You know who he's taking care of. He's reporting to you directly. He is Christ's servant on your behalf, making sure that no, and they talk about this in the first and second century church, where they would send a deacon out for those who couldn't make it to the church meeting to make sure that they had enough to get through some very hard times. You're going to have those hard times. You have no infrastructure based on the way of Christ in place to do this. And you're worried about Muslims. And you're worried about, who's going to be president. Who's going to be righteous? That's what you should be worried about. Who's going to take care of one another? Who is going to come together in service? That service is your worship. To do what Christ said is worshiping Christ. Feed my sheep. Love one another. Do not forsake the gathering together. We have people in Las Vegas. They could use some company. They should gather together. This is why we have the network. They're not all on the internet. So if you're on the internet, you should volunteer to come into contact with the others in Vegas or in San Francisco area or San Jose or Missouri or New Jersey or New York or Kansas or Texas, Austin, Texas, or near Waco. You need to gather together. Bad things happen to others. And so you should be willing to have the hue and cry to be there for them, to watch, protect them. We just had somebody who was completely robbed because he couldn't be at his home. And nobody was there to help him or watch his stuff or care for him. He was all alone. You have to start showing up for others so that others will show up for you in hopes, not forcing, no contract. Your contract is with God alone. Your covenant is with God alone. There is no other person you make a covenant with. When you gather in our free assemblies, which we call congregations of record, you're not bound to do anything. You gather together in hope that you do what's right. This is the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom. This is the way it works. You have to come to serve one another. That's love. To reaffirm your idea of righteousness. And hope and pray that it comes into conformity, into agreement with the righteousness of Christ. Or are you going to keep praying to men who take from others to provide you with your benefits? If you do that, then it's false religion. It's not pure religion. Because it's spotted by the world, the ones who, the constitutional orders and systems of government that exercise authority one over the other, like the princes of the Gentiles, that you are not to be like. I appoint unto you a kingdom, but you are not to be like the princes of the Gentiles. This is Christ. And someone says they had no offices in the church, they had no property. They absolutely had property. Long before Constantine, emperors were already, and courts were already returning property to the church. Why did they have property? So they could be wealthy and rich and have big crystal cathedrals? No. There were churches built back there in the first century under Nero to bury the dead in that were persecuted under Nero. They still stand to this day. They were built with private funds by the nieces and nephews of Paul the Apostle. They still stand. But they weren't churches like you go to. They were where people took care of one another through this network of tens, hundreds, and thousands, which you find all throughout Europe. We explain all this in the whole book, Thy Kingdom Come, which I'm not going to read to you in the next few minutes on this show. But this is what it's all about. In order to gather together, you had to forgive one another. You didn't create all kinds of theologies and doctrines and, oh, we got to do it this way, and we got to do it on this day, and we got to do it this way or that way. Worship in the church was loving one another, feeding the sheep when there was need, taking care of the widows and orphans, taking care of the indigent, the helpless, when there was true need. But not taking care of the immoral and selfish and despicable and wicked. They have the governments of the world to do that. In the story of Churchism, the article, it says, fulfilling our presumed obligation to God in Sunday services. There's no services on Sunday. It's just rituals. It's just song and dance. It's just entertainment. So that you feel good about the fact that there is no hue and cry. You're not taking care of the needy of your society. That's all done by men who exercise authority. Completely opposite of what Jesus said. Service is actual service. He goes on to say, we don't have to give alms to the needy because we have already given to the office, at the office, to at the church, he puts in parentheses. Oh, you gave at the office of the Homeland Security, or whatever, you know, country you're in. I'm not speaking to any particular government. I'm talking about the government of God. The government of God is you do go to the minister that you have chosen, and nine other families have chosen, and you do pay him. And he gathers, spends time every week gathering together with nine other ministers like himself who are watching over 10 families. And now you're watching over 100 families. And they pick a minister and he's connecting them with nine other ministers who are connecting them with 10 other congregations of congregations. And so now you have your tens, hundreds, and thousands. and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands, and that is your insurance. But it's not insurance, it's assurance. It's mutual share. You take care of all your medical bills, everything you could do through this. You could actually take care of one another. And when there are shortages of food and everything else, you can be there for one for each other. It will still be hard, but you will survive. But if you're just looking for, you know, your four or five buddies, and you're going to go build a cabin in the woods, and you're going to stockpile it with all kinds of beans and ammo, you're not thinking kingdom. If you're thinking, well, I just go to church and I sing beautiful songs and the preacher tells me I'm saved and I go home feeling really good, well, you're just as lost as the other guys. Because your religion is the religion of the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. That's where you're giving, and that's where you go and apply for your needs. The federal government is the biggest alms giver that there is in the United States. Single alms giver. But they only give what they take away from your neighbor, which is why you're in bondage. That's why Peter says, through covetousness, they will make merchandise of you. Human resources, collateral for debt. And that's what you've done. Because you haven't been going to the church established by Jesus Christ. You've been going to false churches. The deception is so pervasive. I mean, there's no way that I can give you the good news without it being bad news, because you've accepted false news as truth. It says in his article, while at church, we gave back to God 10% of what we can, as God's church requires. What more can be asked of us? Well, he's not talking about Christ. He's talking about the false church. Tithe was to support the government. This is what tithing was. The Levites were the government. They were the health, educational, welfare of an entire nation. You get to choose whichever Levite you wanted to contribute to, and you would choose wisely. You would choose the ones that were doing the most service. It was a free government with no king, no centralized authority forcing you to contribute. That was a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. But if God was not in their hearts, if love was not in their hearts, they would not be successful. They would fail. But picking a ruler who could exercise authority was a rejection of God then. It's a rejection of God now. If you want to return to God and His church, you need to gather together for the purposes of serving one another. Not just your local congregation, but you have to love your next congregation as much as you love yourself. This is what service is. This is what worship is. To do what Christ actually said. And this is what we all need to do. We'll be back, the keys of the kingdom, and we'll talk more about the good works of Christ when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Till then, may peace be upon your house and God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.